Popes John Paul II and then Benedict XVI devoted their talks at the Wednesday audiences to promoting the Liturgy of the Hours among the laity by commenting on each of the psalms in the four-week cycles of Lauds and Vespers. This went on, with various interruptions, from March of 2001 to February of 2006. In Carmel, I remembered how the sisters looked forward each week to hearing these commentaries read. But when I ask my lay friends, most of them are unaware of this whole series that was directed especially to the laity. So I'm going to read to you the main extracts from the very first general audience in which Pope St. John Paul introduced the series. I'll be quoting from Wednesday, March 28, 2001. It happened to be the feast of St. Thomas Aquinas. Quote, "In the apostolic letter, Novo Millennio Innuente, I expressed the hope that the Church would become more and more distinguished in the art of prayer, learning it ever anew from the lips of the Divine Master. This effort must be expressed above all in the liturgy, the source and summit of ecclesial life. Consequently, it is important to devote greater pastoral care to promoting the Liturgy of the Hours as a prayer of the whole people of God. If, in fact, priests and religious have a precise mandate to celebrate it, it is also warmly recommended to lay people. This was the aim of my venerable predecessor, Paul VI, a little over 30 years ago, with the constitution Laudis Canticumin, which he determined the current form of this prayer, hoping that the psalms and canticles, the essential structure of the Liturgy of the Hours, would be understood with new appreciation by the people of God. It is an encouraging fact that many lay people in parishes and ecclesial associations have learned to appreciate it. Nevertheless, it remains a prayer that presupposes an appropriate catechetical and biblical formation, if it is to be fully savored. To this end, we begin today a series of catecheses on the psalms and canticles found in the morning prayer of Lauds. Note, later, when he's very frail, he'll begin a commentary on Vespers, but Pope Benedict will take up the baton, and so the Church benefited from his perspective on the Liturgy of the Hours. Now, continuing with the introduction. In this way, I would like to encourage and help everyone to pray with the same words that Jesus used, words that for thousands of years have been part of the prayer of Israel and the Church. We could use various approaches to understanding the Psalms. The first would consist in presenting their literary structure, their authors, their formation, the context in which they were composed. It would also be fruitful to read them in a way that emphasizes their poetic character, which sometimes reaches the highest levels of lyrical insight and symbolic expression. It would be no less interesting to go over the Psalms and consider the various sentiments of the human heart expressed in them: joy, gratitude, thanksgiving, love, tenderness, enthusiasm, but also intense suffering, complaint, pleas for help and for justice, which sometimes lead to anger and imprecation. In the Psalms, the human being fully discovers himself. Our reading will aim above all at bringing out the religious meaning of the Psalms, showing how they can be used in the prayer of Christ's disciples, although they were written many centuries ago for Hebrew believers. In this task, we will turn for help to the results of exegesis, but together we will learn from tradition and will listen above all to the fathers of the Church. The fathers were firmly convinced that the Psalms speak of Christ. The risen Jesus, in fact, applied the Psalms to himself when he said to the disciples, "Everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." The fathers add that in the Psalms, Christ is spoken to, or it is even Christ who speaks. In saying this, they were thinking not only of the individual person of Christ, but of the Christus totus, the total Christ, the composed of Christ the head and his members. Christians were thus able to read the book of Psalms in the light of the whole mystery of Christ, the mystical body. In singing the Psalms, the Christian feels a sort of harmony between the Holy Spirit, present in the Scriptures, and the Holy Spirit who dwells within him through the grace of baptism. More than praying in his own words, he echoes those sighs too deep for words mentioned by St. Paul, with which the Lord's Spirit urges believers to join in Jesus' characteristic invocation, Abba, Father. St. John Paul goes on to explain how the Liturgy of the Hours developed from the Hebrew tradition. In the Mosaic Law, there are only sacrifices, but in Jerusalem, David guarded the ark, but it was separated from Gilgal. So David enthusiastically composed many psalms and taught the Levites to sing during the day, offering God a sacrifice of praise. The early Christians were Jews who were used to going to the temple to join in the psalms, which were being sung at certain hours. And so John Paul explains a bit how the Christians added the Our Father and rearranged the Psalms to be more suitable to their own feasts. Quote, "The Trinitarian doxology that crowns every psalm becomes for the believer in Christ a continual immersion in the waters of the Spirit and in communion with the people of God, in the ocean of life and of peace, in which that people was immersed through baptism, that is, in the mystery of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Both popes mention many interesting things. In one place, John Paul highlights the practical value. He said that when the Arian heresy was attacking belief in the divinity of Christ, they taught people to sing hymns and prayers full of errors. So St. Athanasius countered this by vigorously encouraging the faithful to pray the Psalms, the inspired word of God. We have little cards for you at the back table that list the websites where you can find these wonderful commentaries, either free online as PDFs or in book or radio. Thank you, Lord, for those two wonderful popes. And now, Father Bernie, would you lead us in night prayer?